Good morning, Crossroads. How we doing today? Woo! Hey, my name is Brian. I'm the lead pastor here. So glad that you're with us today. If you're a guest, welcome to you. I know I got some Chicago folks in the house, so I'm glad they're here too. And also, if you're online, I want to welcome you wherever you might be at. It's August. Are you kidding me? Like, it's August already. You're like, people are, I know, right? You get it, right? Kids are going back to school. NFL training camps are starting. The Olympics are happening. Yeah. If you could endure that opening ceremony or whatever that thing was, right? That was good. But this Thursday is when GLS is going to be happening. Something we've been talking about for months now. Global Leadership Summit right here at Crossroads. We have 100 people from Crossroads already attending. 500 people, almost 500. We need three more people for that 500 mark to be able to come. If you have not signed up, please do it. World-class leadership that's going to be right here via satellite from Willow Creek. You get to interact with all kinds of different leaders from the Valley. We'd love for you to be a part of that. Consider doing that this week. It's going to be fantastic. So I bring that up because we are in the middle of a series that's called Influential, and we're looking at how we influence the world and the world that's all around us. Last week we looked at a quote from Ken Blanchard. Says this. He says, anytime you seek to influence the thinking, the behavior, or the development of another person, you take on the role of a leader. Now, I think that makes a lot of sense. Leaders influence those around them, and as Christians, we have the opportunity to influence other people for Christ. And so week one, what we looked at is we said that everyone influences someone. It's just a matter of how we do it, whether it's a positive influence or not. In week two, we opened up our eyes to the reality that there's influence all around us. There's all around us that we can do in day in and day out. In fact, that we said that we can also, as a church, be influential in the community that's right around us. So this last week, we put you guys to the test, said we want to get 150 backpacks together for the Great Valley and Lincoln Elementary Schools right here in Manteca. And so we are challenging you to do that. And if you haven't noticed, overflowing bins of things are happening. We just love to see that going on. And we would love for you to consider being a part of that too if you haven't already. In your bulletin, you'll notice there's a list of school supplies. You can bring a backpack with all that stuff filled in there. Next week is the last week we're taking donations, so consider doing that, being a part of influencing our schools around us. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do through their lives as we open the doors into these schools to do different things with them. So we're sitting on the brink of yet another pivotal moment here in history, aren't we? I mean, not just in the fact that we have this presidential election kind of coming up, but all around us we have people that are looking for someone to lead them. That's really what they want. And as I've said before, we really have become a nation of followers in so many different regards. We have become so desperate for leadership that we'll look to anyone who talks the loudest or the smoothest to be our guiding star in this life. We have movie stars and reality TV personalities, professional athletes, and they have become who we go to for political problems, or to whether we immunize our kids or not, or what foods we should eat. We look at the cover of magazines to decide what we should wear and not wear. We even seek guidance from Facebook walls and video blogs. And all the while, the greatest influencer that ever lived, Jesus Christ, is standing on the sidelines waiting, just waiting for us to tag him into our life. And to be clear, that God does want us to be change agents here on earth, okay? It's not like we tag Jesus and then sit back and just wait for him to do his thing and just hold on. I mean, at some point he will set all things right and everything will be how it should be. But until then, we have been called to make a difference in this world. I mean, just consider what Jesus has told us in the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6, verses 9 through 10, it says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So just in these few little lines that we look here, we have a powerful order of priorities, and it's our call to action. Jesus says that we should start off by acknowledging the ultimate and powerful person that's in charge. We should ultimately know that God is in charge of everything. He says after we focus our attention on God, then we should also look at what he thinks is important. Specifically, his name, his kingdom, and his will is what we should do. Just in those few lines. We have to maintain the right focus, or all of our best efforts, all of our influence, all of our leadership will be for our glory and not for his glory. And the very best approach that will come, or the very best thing that would come from that approach, is that we would become famous on earth and unknown in heaven. But right now, right after that, Jesus actually says has this priority check moment, but then right after that, he says something very interesting. He says that on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that fascinating? Jesus presents this idea that God's kingdom is not relegated just to heaven, but should somehow come urgently to earth as well too. Not later, not when it's more convenient, not when Jesus comes back on the white horse with the white robe dipped in blood like in Revelation, but like now. And my friend and mentor, Dr. Tim Harlow, actually says it this way. He says, we need to bring heaven to earth and earth to heaven. We need to bring heaven, the gospel message of hope, right here to earth right now as we live and we love and we influence those so more people from earth will be in heaven with us later. But in order for that to happen, we need to be influencers. We need to be leaders. We need to be leaders that step up and make a difference. We need a church full of people that are ready to influence this world for Christ. Now, how many people here have ever gone skiing before? Anybody gone skiing before? Raise your hand. It's okay. Like, and if you don't raise your hand, it's probably because you wrecked somewhere, and that's all right. Like, you want to be embarrassed, right? So I learned to ski when I grew up in South Dakota, and so I learned to ski at Terry Peak Lodge. Ooh, right? Very fancy in Terry Peak Lodge. I learned to ski there. And I remember I was in sixth grade when that happened, and we did a field trip there. Now, this was back when you didn't have to have, like military clearance and a blood check and, like, all that crazy stuff in order to go somewhere. I don't even know if they gave us, a form for our parents to fill out. They're like, whatever, just go, you know? So we went there. But I was one of the ones that didn't know how to ski when I first went up there, you know? So my buddies and everybody, they all knew how to ski, but I was part of the loser group that had to go and have lessons when you got there, you know what I mean? So I went there and I had to go to the lessons, and while my buddies went off to ski, they kind of did their own thing. So I listened to these instructors about as good as any sixth grader does listen to anything, you know what I mean? I learned to put my boots on and get my bindings all together, and I did basically just enough for them to be able to sign off on that sheet, you know what I'm saying? Just enough. I knew how to kind of go up the hill sideways. I knew that stuff. I knew the pizza, that's how you stopped. Remember pizza? You know, you're going down a pizza, that's how you stop. I remember just enough. Well, I grabbed my poles and I said, I'm free, let me go. And so I went and I saw my buddy Rob going up the chairlift. I said, you know what? I'm gonna meet up with Rob at the top, no big deal. I'm just gonna catch him. I'll just catch him up at the top. I mean, after all, I've had 34 seconds of training. I know what I'm doing. I'm not sure what all these different colored routes are. I'm sure Black Diamond is a beautiful round to go on. I should probably check it. It's probably for decoration. I'll just check it out. Well, the second that I went and I put my skis downhill, I realized that I had just forgotten everything that I had just learned in that moment. Everything. I forgot things I didn't even know about skiing at that point. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going down this hill faster than a Dodger chasing a World Series ring. Like, I mean, I'm going fast, you know? I'm like, boom. We were in trouble, Houston. Big, big trouble. And when I got near the end of this run, as I'm barreling down, I realized three things very quickly. One, I cannot believe that I'm still vertical. Like, I'm so pumped about this. Yes! The second thing, I can't believe that I have not killed anyone in the process. God is parting human beings like the Red Sea. I'm going right between them. It's a beautiful thing. And the third thing is, I cannot believe that I cannot stop, and I am heading right for the ski lodge. Not even joking, right for the ski lodge. All I can remember, my brain just keep thinking of pizza, pizza. And in my brain, I'm thinking, why am I hungry right now? I shouldn't be. And then it snaps. No, pizza to stop, you idiot, right? So I start pizzaing my brains out, you know? Pizza's coming out everywhere. Like, I don't even know. Like, I'm trying everything I can do. And I'm slamming on the pizza brakes, and it wasn't helping at all. So I did what anyone else would do in that moment as you're throttling towards your most certain embarrassing doom. I just simply started to lean back on my skis until I laid back on the ground. And I went right underneath the ski lodge, underneath the deck. And so they had to get like the jaws of life to get me out, you know. I felt like like a Chilean miner, like crammed in there and just hoping people would send food down through the tube or something, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was toast. Now, let's see if I can get up. All right, whew. Yeah, it was toast. But what happened is that I got out ahead of my skis. Like, I thought that I was greater than what I really was in that moment. So we're gonna have a little Mr. Rogers moment here for a second. You know what I'm saying, right? These are size 8s. I wear a size 11. Yes, awesome. So my friends, I tell you this because of this. Because The same thing that happened to me with skiing will happen to you if you try to influence without first knowing Jesus. Like that's just how it's going to be if that's your approach to it. Because without Christ, we'll get out in front of our skis and we'll start thinking that we can do things that we really can't do, and we start using our strength instead of God's strength. And the next thing we know, we are in big trouble. And it's just a recipe for a disaster in that moment. So Paul tells us something interesting in 1 Corinthians 19. So I'm going to tie my shoes, do it Mr. Rogers' way, right? You know, remember, I need a sweater. Like, why did that dude always wear sweaters? All the time. He's indoor all the time. Anyway, okay. So now, let's take a look. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. So as to win those under the law, to those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I become weak. To win the weak, I become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in his blessing. Now, this is important to understand. The bottom line that Paul is trying to talk to us here about is influence. That's what he's trying to get at. He's talking about how we influence others for Christ by being around them where they're at and in their worlds. We take drastic steps to influence drastic people in drastic ways, but is so important. But before we even think of doing that, we have to be rooted in Jesus Christ first. And the reason is because we must first find our bearings, our roots, so deep within him that when we go into these situations, we can bend and not break. So that's why a newly in recovery alcoholic should not be the one leading the ministry into the bars as their mission field, because you will break and not bend. That's why somebody that struggles with pornography doesn't lead the ministry into the strip clubs at all, because you will break and not bend. You should consider being part of our Celebrate Recovery ministry that we just celebrated before. Mondays at 7 o'clock, we'd love for you to be a part of that. Go see Dominic and the team. They'd be love to get you going, because as a part of that, as you work on your habits and your hurts and your hang-ups, you're able to become more rooted in Jesus so that you can bend and not break in the situations. We need to make sure that we root ourselves in Jesus so that it is for his glory and not our glory, but also so that we don't risk what he is doing in us, what Jesus is already doing in us. We don't want to risk that as well too. And when we do this, powerful things happen. And the world begins to change because of those type of influencers. Even people that you may never have even thought would start following Jesus, just start following Jesus because you place yourself in an environment with them. And so today, I want us to take a look at someone just like that in the Bible, actually. So if you have your Bible or your Bible apps, would you turn with me to John chapter 4? John chapter 4 is where we're going to kind of hang out with here today. So if you have that with you, go ahead and turn there. And as we look at this text today, we're actually going to see something. We're actually going to see four things that influencers rooted in Christ do. So four things that when you are rooted in Christ, you are able to bend and not break. These are things that you should be able to do. So in John chapter 4, we find Jesus traveling to yet another town to do ministry in, and where he decides actually to stop in the small town in Samaria. Now the fact that Jesus was in Samaria at all was just completely, completely nutso. The Samaritans were often the butt of jokes and all kinds of stories that were told by the Jewish people, because the Samaritans were kind of this mixed breed of Jewish people and half Gentile. It was kind of a mixed bag of things. And because this happened as a result of their captivity in Assyria, the Jews and the Samaritans couldn't stand each other. They just couldn't stand each other. So why this Jewish rabbi Jesus would go through Samaria made no sense to any Jew that you would tell this to. There were so many different routes that you could have gone in order to get to Samaria. So why in the world would you stop there? Why would you go this way? Why would you put your Jewishness in jeopardy? After all, Jesus was already in the crosshairs of the Pharisees. The stuff that he was doing was driving them nuts. They couldn't stand him. So for him to go into Samaria puts a laser lock on him if they ever found out about this whole thing. But Jesus seemed to have to do it. And when Jesus does it, sometimes we have to do those same things as well too. Because listen, when something doesn't make worldly sense, but makes godly sense, then that's perfect sense. Let me say it again. When something doesn't make worldly sense, if somebody looks at you and says, why would you do that? Why would you ever do that? But the reason that you're doing it is because God's called you to do it, then that makes perfect sense to you because we're following God, not the world. It doesn't make sense to the world or to the disciples for Jesus to have gone to Samaria, but he had to go. He had a divine appointment with someone that no one really cared about. Because Jesus rolls into this town, and it's been a long trip, a long travel. He's getting tired, so he decides to go to the local water well to get a drink. It was around 12 noon in the middle of the day, first in the heat of the day. We don't know anything about that, though, right, California? We're all right. We're good, right? Middle of the day, just beating down on them. All of a sudden, at the corner of his eye, he notices this woman starting to approach him to get some water. Now, this is odd at best for a woman to be coming in the middle of the day and at high noon in order to get water for several reasons. Now, the first reason is that women typically would travel in groups together in order to have protection as they were going to get water, which means that if this woman was by herself, that she didn't have a group to go with. The second reason is the time of day that she came to get the water. They would either come in the early morning or the evening when it was cooler. Again, we have no anything about that, right, California? Nothing about that. The fact that this woman was coming in the heat of the day meant that she was not wanted by the rest of the women that were there. There was something that was askew with her. And regardless of that, Jesus decides to enter into a conversation with this woman and ask her for a drink. And soon, we will see the reason why it becomes very, very obvious. So in verse 9 of chapter 4, we start in with this, and we read God's word, and it says this. The Samaritan woman said to him, to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Jump down to verse 13. Jesus answers and says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life," he says. The woman doesn't know Jesus. So she just starts in with the normal standard cultural questions. "You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, why are we interacting at all? Why would you want water from me?" But Jesus quickly uses this whole water thing as a reason to actually to divulge his true visit that he's having with her. He says that if you had any idea who I am, you'd be asking a different question. In fact, you would be asking me for a drink. See, I think this is so an important aspect of being an influencer for Christ is that we must be rooted in him. In other words, the first thing is that influencers ask the right questions. Influencers ask the right questions. To be influential, you have to be asking the right questions. See, the woman at the well, she was worried about the outward, the superficial, the cultural things, class, culture. That was what was important to her. But Jesus was worried about what was happening deeper on a soul level. A truly effective leader can see past the surface to the true issue at hand. Not in a creepy, I'm reading your mind kind of weird way, but in a sensitive and loving way that asks better questions than everyone else. Better questions that get to the heart of the issue and elicit godly curiosities. Because with the right questions, Jesus can now actually speak to the real issue that's in her life. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water.' He told her, 'Go call your husband and come back.' 'I have no husband,' she said. Jesus replied to her, 'You are right when you say you have no husband.'" Now, part of me thinks that this woman still doesn't fully get it at this moment. Because we read this line about Jesus saying, "Hey, go call your husband and come back." And her response of, I have no husband. I think we read that a little too innocently, if you will. See, a woman at the well in the middle of the day, she was hunting for more than just water, let's just say. She was on a hunt for a man. And I tend to think that her response was much more seductive and filled with maybe some double entendres there. Because I really think that she very well might be in this moment hitting on Jesus Christ. But then he drops the Jedi mind stuff on her. You know, check it out. Look at him, verse 18. Look at what he brings. He says this. "The fact is," no, you don't have a husband. He says, "The fact is, you have five husbands, and the man you have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." Boom! That's what he says, you know? You've been much busier than just with one husband, he says. Now you don't know if her husband, all of her husbands died, or maybe something happened there, but the fact that one woman's around five people and they're just dropping dead, that's a little weird, you know? But Jesus was bold enough to say it, call it for what it was. See, that's another aspect of being influential that we overlook, is that influencers sense the right time to say hard things. They sense the right time to say hard things. When we are rooted in Christ, the Holy Spirit will give us the discernment to know when and how to say hard things to those that we are asked to be influencers with. We are not helping those we love. Listen to me. We are not helping those we love if we continue to let them fall into patterns of sin. We are not helping them. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to love each other enough so that in the end, as they grow and as they were influencing them, we will grow together, that we will call out the things that are happening. Jesus did this, and the effects on this woman are unbelievable. Look at verse 25. Flip over there. Verse 25 says this. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Verse 27, just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Finally, this woman starts to put everything together, and instantly she realizes that she is standing in front of none other than Jesus Christ, the true living water, the Messiah, the Christ. It's as if her soul had been unlocked and all of the pieces start to come together for her. But did you notice that it took Jesus telling her multiple times in multiple ways for her to get it? She didn't get it after the whole water analogy. Jesus didn't give up. She didn't get it after the whole mind-reading thing and knew everything about your life thing. So Jesus didn't give up. It wasn't until Jesus actually says, is this thing on? I am God, that the light actually flipped on in this woman's brain. But oh my goodness, this is exactly what we should expect when we are influencing and leading people in our lives. Because being part of someone's life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. It takes effort, it takes stress, it takes frustrations, it steps forward and steps backwards more times than you ever thought you'd have to do. But that's why influencers have the long road in mind. The long road. We cannot expect every person that we influence to change right away. It just doesn't happen that way. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. We also can't expect them to change in the way that we think that they should, because we need them to desire to change in the way that God wants them to. We can't get angry when it happens differently than the way that we wanted it to go. We need to be patient, and we need to trust that God's plan is being perfectly executed in their life just as much as it is in our life. And when we see God's perfect plan, the ripple effects from it are unreal. Check out what happens. This woman is so overwhelmed that she just met Jesus that she runs back to the town that she came from to tell anyone that she could find. She goes back to a town that they knew who she was. She wasn't a secret to them. They knew what happened or maybe who she was with or what was going on. They understood that, but she couldn't contain herself, which makes this part of the story so amazing and earth-shattering. Look at verse 39. It says that many, as she goes back to this town, it says many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Guys, the woman that was shunned by her community, the woman that was most likely called a floozy, the woman that tried to possibly hit on Jesus, the woman that was isolated and alone, the woman that nearly missed Jesus right in front of her. Yes, that woman is the one that caused an entire town to believe in Jesus. That woman was the one who was influenced by Jesus and now is influencing others. That woman is the reason that Jesus detoured his entire trip to be able to meet. That woman is the one that we read about in the Bible, not just as a hussy and a prostitute, but as a believer in Jesus Christ. That woman was an influencer for Christ. The person that you least expected is now exceeding our expectations. That's what happens when Jesus gets a hold of you and you start to become influential. The ripple effects from your life start to affect people you never thought possible. So what about you? How can you be an influencer for Christ? What do you need to do? What do you need to start putting one foot in front of the other in your world to begin influencing those around you? How do you think God desires for you to exceed the expectations that you have for yourself in your life? Maybe it's as simple as volunteering to be a part of this church. To get involved with some kids or with some students or with creating worship experiences or greeting people as they come through the door. Next week, I've got an amazing announcement I can't wait to tell you about next week, but we're going to need you to step up and be a part of something, and you have an opportunity to be influential through it. crossroadsgrace.org/volunteer is where you can do that even right now. Maybe you need to sign up to be a growth group host. We have it right out there in the worship in the lobby area. You could sign up to be part of a growth group and host. If you want to know one of the most awesome ways to be influential, lead a group where you sit around and talk about Jesus, live life together, impact your community together, that you'll be blown away by what God does through that as you get connected with one another and you influence together. Maybe there's someone right now that you are thinking in your brain that you need to text, you need to call when you leave the service, that you need to put an arm around and hug and say, we need to talk about some things and how we can be more influential. I need to be there for you. Maybe you need to do that. Let me also just be very honest. Maybe some of you need to stop praying and you need to start doing. You've been holding out for a management position spiritually and you just need a J-O-B job spiritually somewhere, somehow. Like I've said before, I think one of a great sin also is where we become spiritually obese, where we consume all these spiritual calories and know exactly what we should do, but we never exert them anywhere, and we just become obese. Some of us need to get off our Bibles and start doing something. Whoever you are, I know this to be true. God has called all of us to be influential, and I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that influencers change the world. They change the world. They do. They change the world by the power of Christ, rooted so deep in their souls. And you can do that because the same God is with you. And here's how I know that. There's one aspect of this story that I just want you to leave with. It's the reality that although this Samaritan woman was influential, Jesus did the saving. Did you catch that? In verse 42, look what it says. It says that they said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." The woman said, "Listen, this is my story. This is my life. You know who I am. You know what I've done. This is my testimony. But this is what Jesus just did for me. Now you go see for yourself." She didn't get out ahead of her skis. She simply pointed to the direction of Jesus. My friends, this is what God is asking us to do. He's asking us to be influential to others by pointing them to Jesus, to point them to the greatest influencer of all time, the only one that can make them whole. So have you been influenced by Jesus? Have you given him your life, your strength, your grace? Have you given him permission to influence and lead you? If not, today is a great day to have him start. But if you're here today and you have been influenced by Christ, then what in the world are you waiting for? It's time to get up, start moving. It's time to start being influential where you're at. As we turn our hearts to communion, and we think of Jesus' influence on our life and how much he loves us and how much he did for us. I found this video this week. I just wanted to share it with you. It's a man by the name of Jeffrey. And what you'll see in this video is that he hasn't seen his brother for 4 years. He hasn't seen his mom for 10 years. His family lives in Africa. But after all that time, they're finally reunited. I want you to watch this, and then we'll talk. Listen, if that doesn't make you want to call your mom after service, I don't know what is. But listen to me. If a professional football player walked around that corner, he wouldn't have done that. If a movie star walked around that corner, he wouldn't have done that. If this mother walked around the corner to someone else's son, they wouldn't have done that. And the reason this giant sobbing man is on the floor is at the side of his mom. Because of her influence. It's because that woman means more to him than anyone else in the world. Not because of how famous she is, but because how much she loved him, raised him, influenced him. Influence is not about title. It's about being intentional. It's about loving people enough to be Jesus to them. It's about being influential. But what is so important is how you and I respond when we come around that corner of life and we see Jesus. Would we be uninfected if we saw him? Or would we weep out of joy of seeing our Savior? If Jesus has influenced your soul, you can't help but be overcome by him. If you haven't let him influence your life, today could be the day. Christ has called us to be influencers for him, but it starts with knowing him, because influencers can change the world. So in a second, we're going to pass communion. These trays will pass in front of you, and there's a bread in the bottom and juice in the top. Just take both those cups out. Hold on to them. We'll commune together as a body of believers. What I want you to do in this moment, though, is I want you to reflect on what Jesus is calling you to. Is he calling you to know him, the Savior? If you're a non-believer and this is just something you don't believe, that's what, let the trays pass. But if you want Jesus in your life today, in a second, I'll pray a prayer where you can accept him and this communion can mean something totally different to you. But if you know him and if you accepted him, would you ask him, where are you calling me to be influential? Where have I not been obeying? Where do I need to step up and do something in this world for you? And then the question will be, what will you do with what you know? But in this moment, let's reflect. As we remember what Jesus did by dying on the cross for our sins, because he loves us. Let's pray. Mighty God and Father, we come before you and ask that you would speak to us, that you would influence us, Lord, right now. Lord God, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, that they would simply cry out and say, I am a sinner, I am apart from you. And that I know that in one day I will come around a corner of life, and when this life is over, I will come around the corner and I will see you, Jesus. And either I can fall to my knees out of joy, knowing that you are my Savior, everything that I've been waiting for is now in front of me, or I will fall to my knees because now I am apart from you. And I'm choosing to know you, Jesus. I'm repenting of my sins. I'm claiming you as Savior. I'm going to follow you the rest of my days. Lord God, if anyone has prayed that prayer today, may they know that their lives are changed and they are renewed and they are whole. And they see someone at the cross or the back of the worship center when they leave today. But Lord, for us that do know you, work on our hearts. Encourage us, challenge us, make us be more like you in whatever way you want us to be. And may we come back to this time of communion as the point of reference of why we do what we do. Because you loved us, you died for us, and you give us grace. Help us, Jesus. Help us to remember you well in this moment as we take time with you. We love you. It's your name we pray. Amen. All believers are welcome to commune with us at this time. My friends, this bread represents Jesus' broken body. It says when we are to get together, we're to remember him and what he did for us. This bread represents Jesus. We take and eat in remembrance of him. This juice is a symbol of the extent to which Jesus would go to love us, that he shed his own blood for us, that he would die for us. It says when we get together as believers, we should take this juice and drink in remembrance of him. So we drink in remembrance of him. Would you stand with me as we close our service today? Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are overwhelmed. We are overwhelmed that you would take broken people like us and do great things. Lord, I pray in this moment that none of us would disqualify ourselves from what you're calling us to. That none of us would disqualify ourselves from the strength that you offer us, no matter what we may be going through. May we ask the question of how are we being influential for you? How are we showing Jesus to those around us? Whether we're a mom, a husband, an employee, a pastor, whatever it may be, Lord, would you show us how we can show Jesus to others, even when it's hard? Even when it's hard, help us. Give us strength. Lord, we thank you that you are here today. And we are so grateful for the four walls that we sit in, which are safe and secure. But Lord, when we leave here, we go out into a real world that can be very dark. Help us to be light there, in our homes, in our jobs, in this world, for you. May we be led by your strength and trust that you will be with us every step of the way. God, you're good. We love you. We thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Tag, you're it.